Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. So before we begin, inshallah, just kind of give a brief schedule of what we have. So inshallah, the Sheikh will be giving a talk, maybe hour, 15 minutes, a little longer, a little shorter, Allahu alam. And then after that will be left time for questions and answers. We are passing out index cards for both the brothers and the sisters. Please, any questions that you have, brothers or sisters, write it down, and then we'll collect them at the end and be able to pass them on to the Sheikh, inshallah. At 4:30, inshallah, the lecture part of the program and the question and answer will be over. We'll pray Salat al-Asr at 4:30, inshallah. Also at 4:30, the food will be arriving, and we'll have time to eat and talk with each other, inshallah. And then by 6 p.m., we have to be out of here. At that time, we have to be cleaned up and done. So that's, inshallah, the temporary schedule. And during the lecture, if we can try to the best to the best of our ability, keep the distractions down and the sounds down so people that want to can benefit from the actual lecture. And obviously, if somebody needs some water or use the restroom, or if there's some cookies or things wherever, they're free to get up and get them themselves. I think that's all I have. Oh, I wanted to mention this thing, by the way, just so for those who may not be aware, this event is being put on by Markaz al-Sahaba. That's an organization that we have started in this community to try to help and promote the sunnah in this locality. And I think there's a little piece of paper or something, a board that Halif has. If everybody could put their name, it's over on the thing, put their name, email address, phone number. It's not going to be used for marketing or anything like that, inshallah. It's just so that anytime there's events going on, an email can be sent out to the people who are interested, and they can be contacted, or they can become part of a group and get a group email or a group text message or something like that, and be informed. As well as anybody who wants to, they can, I don't know if he has his email, or they can put my email on there, or his email, or the web address, which y'all should also have the email. Huh? Khalif, I'm talking about Khalif back there. Oh, I didn't say that? Okay, I thought I mentioned Khalif. I had a thing earlier. Okay. So that's one way to we can get in contact with each other. And then if anybody's able to, they can support Markaz al-Sahaba so that we're able to, inshallah, help to get a place and open it up and be able to promote more of these types of events, as well as, inshallah, we intend to bring the Sheikh for more events as well, if he's able to, inshallah. So any support that anybody can give in any type of form, financially or otherwise, physically, whatever, would be helpful, inshallah. So I don't think there's anything else. If anybody has any questions for me at this point, otherwise we'll begin with the... Yeah.
Just tell our lovely teenagers and kids, if you see your elder brothers and uncles coming, you can grab a sujjad, you can sit on the floor, Jazakum Allah Khair. And this is from your generosity and karam tayyib. Because if we don't have a lot of chairs, and we need especially the elders, our fathers and our uncles, and they get the chairs, inshallah. If you see, and this is from the out of respect, Jazakum Allah Khair. After, when you see people coming, just be aware. Just grab the sujjad, sit on the floor, inshallah. May Allah reward you.
As the Sheikh mentioned also, so one of the reasons I guess they're telling us is because they have fire code rules. They can't bring more than a certain amount of chairs. And so that's why we're limited on the amount of chairs we can have on each side. But yeah, as the chef mentioned, if some of the youngsters, they see some of the elders coming, and they're able to leave them a seat, inshallah. Anything else?
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد عنوان هذه المحاضرة هي أهمية التوحيد وحمايته أهمية تعلم التوحيد وحمايته ولا شك أن هذا من أجل العلوم وأعظمها لأنه هو حق الله سبحانه وتعالى على العبيد.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. So the Shaykh, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that the title of this lecture is the importance of the correct creed and preserving it or guarding it. And without a doubt, this is from the most illustrious and the greatest of sciences, because it is the right of Allah upon His servants.
علم التوحيد هو علم حياة الدين ولا دين إلا بالتوحيد ولا خلاص إلا بالإخلاص.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned that the knowledge of Tawheed, then it is the lifeline of the religion. And it is the lifeline of the religion. There is no religion except with Tawheed. And there is no safety or there is no deliverance except with Tawheed.
ولذلك هو أول أمر أمر الله عز وجل الرسل أن يدعو إليه.
The Shaykh mentions, and that is why this Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the first command which Allah commanded His messengers with.
بل إن الله عز وجل بعث جميع الأنبياء لأجله.
Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent all His messengers because of it.
وخلق الله عز وجل الجنة والنار لأجله.
Allah created Jannah, Paradise, and the Hellfire because of this.
بل إن الرسل الذين كان يرسلهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أقوامهم يأمرهم بأن يبدأوا بالتوحيد.
Rather, the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Messenger of Allah, he would send his messengers, he would send them to his people and command them to begin with this.
كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه أن يوحدوا الله.
As the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, let the first thing you call them to is to single out Allah alone and worship.
وهو أول أمر في القرآن الكريم.
And this oneness of Allah, التوحيد, is the first command in the noble Quran.
يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. أول أمر وأول نهي في القرآن فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. أول نهي عن الشرك وأول أمر بالتوحيد.
So the Shaykh, he mentions this is the first command in the Quran. As Allah said in the Quran, a translation of that meaning, all mankind, worship Allah alone who created you. And likewise, the first command, the first prohibition in the Quran was a prohibition of shirk, polytheism, paganism, associating part of Allah. When he mentioned Azza wa Jal, as a translation of that meaning, that do not set up rivals with him.
بل إن التوحيد هو أعظم حسنة على الإطلاق.
Rather, التوحيد is the greatest good deed outright.
لما قيل لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله حسنة قال بل أحسن الحسنات.
And when it was said to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله is a good deed, he said rather it's from the greatest of good deeds.
كذلك فإن التوحيد به النجاة من كروبات الدنيا جميعا.
الشيخ mentioned that التوحيد, this singing out Allah alone in worship with his is safety from all kinds of calamities of the dunya.
قد جاء عن شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله أنه قال, وذكر هذا أيضا السعدي رحمه الله, أنه لا يلقي في الكروبات مثل الشرك ولا ينجي منها مثل التوحيد.
The Shaykh mentioned that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and likewise al-Sa'di mentioned that nothing throws a person into destruction or calamities like the likes of shirk, and nothing saves a person like tawheed.
وانظر إلى دعاء يونس عليه السلام في ظلمات ثلاث.
The Shaykh mentioned, so look at the dua of the Prophet Yunus when he was in the three different darknesses.
فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فنجيناه قال سبحانه.
So Yunus عليه السلام, he called out لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. So then Allah saved him, as has been mentioned in the Quran, with this dua.
وقد ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال دعاء الكرب دعاء ذنون ما دعا به مكروب إلا فرج الله كربه.
The Shaykh mentioned it is established, authentically established in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that the dua of the calamities is the dua of Dhunnun. The dua of Dhunnun, and is not, this dua is not made except that Allah relieves one from that calamity.
كذلك مما يدل على أهمية التوحيد أن الله عز وجل أمر بتعلمه والعمل به, ومن ذلك قوله سبحانه فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله واستغفر لذنبك.
And that which indicates and shows the importance of learning Tawheed and acting upon Tawheed is the verse in the Quran, and the translation of that verse is no, there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins.
ومما يدل أيضا على أهمية التوحيد أنه هو الفطرة.
And also that which indicates to the importance of Tawheed is that Tawheed, meaning worshiping Allah singly, Allah alone worship, is the fitrah, the natural disposition.
ليس هو مما يخالف الفطر السليمة.
If this tawheed does not oppose the sound natural disposition that he's already found, it doesn't oppose that.
كما جاء في الحديث الصحيح عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يولد المولود حين يولد على الفطرة، فأبواه يهودانه أو ينصرانه أو يمجسانه.
As it comes in authentic narration from the Prophet that the newborn is born upon the fitra, upon his natural disposition, and it is his parents that either raised him a Jew, a Christian, or a Majus, a fire worshipper.
جاء عن عمر بن عبد العزيز رحمه الله تعالى أنه قال عليك بدين الصبي والعجوز وله عما سواهما، يعني الفطرة، الفطرة التي تقوم في دين في 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 قلب الصبي والعجوز، لأن هذه الفطرة كما قال سبحانه وتعالى فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله، هذه فطرة فطر الناس عليها.
Now the Shaykh, he mentioned the statement of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz where he mentioned upon you is the religion of the young child and the old lady.
وَالْهُ عَمَّ سِوَاهُمَا.
Now, and turn away from anybody else besides them. The religion of the young child and the older person, and turn away from anybody besides them. Meaning the fitrah, that which is in your natural disposition. Meaning that you worship Allah alone, you know Allah is your creator. This is the your natural disposition. That the Shaykh, he mentions the ayah in the Quran where Allah said in the Quran, it's a translation of the meaning that the fitrah, the natural disposition which Allah created you upon, which He created the people upon, and there's no change to the creation of Allah.
ومما يدل على أهمية التوحيد وأهمية البدء به وغرسه في قلوب الناس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مكث في مكة 13 سنة لا يدعو إلا إلى التوحيد.
And that which indicates the importance of tawheed is the fact that its importance and the fact that it's tawheed ingraining in the hearts of the people is that the Prophet ﷺ, he stayed for 13 years in Mecca and did not call except to this.
وكما أسلفنا أن البدء بالتوحيد هو بدء بما بدأ الله به، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول أبدأ بما بدأ الله به.
And as it proceeded, that beginning with Tawheed, that beginning your da'wah, your call to At-Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, is that which Allah began with. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, I begin with that which Allah begins with.
أنا أسألكم في الطواف، في الطواف بين الصفا والمروة، يبدأ بالمروة أم بالصفا؟
The Shaykh is saying, I'm asking you, when it comes to tawaf, tawaf around the Kaaba, do you begin your
tawaf?
Sorry,
no.
Tawaf al-sa'i. When you do sa'i, walking between Safa and Marwa, do you begin with Safa or do you begin with Marwa?
تبدأ بالصفا لأن الله عز وجل قال إن الصفا والمروة.
You begin with Safa because Safa, Allah says in the Quran, إن الصفا والمروة.
إذا عرفت هذه الآية تعرف بماذا تبدأ.
Now, if you know this ayah that indeed Safa then Marwa is ordered, then you know what to begin with.
ومن سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه إذا جاء إلى الصفا قال نبدأ بما بدأ الله به. هذه من السنة.
And from the sunnah is that when you go to Safa, you say that we begin with that which Allah began with.
لأن الله عز وجل بدأ بالصفا قبل المروة في الآية. فنبدأ بها فعلا، بدأ بها قولا فنبدأ بها فعلا.
Because Allah سبحانه وتعالى began with Safa with his statement in the Quran. So we begin with Safa by way of our actions.
كذلك مما يدل على أهمية التوحيد. مما يدل على أهمية التوحيد أن بالزهد عنه أن الزهد عنه يوقع في ضده.
And that which indicates to the importance of this tawheed is that staying away from tawheed, staying away from this tawheed, then one will fall into that which is in opposition of it. That which is in the opposition of tawheed, one will fall into that.
والوقوع في الشرك محبط لجميع الأعمال وليس للعمل نفسه فقط. هذا مما يدل على خطر الشرك بالله عز وجل.
And falling into shirk, falling into polytheism or shirk, negates all of one's actions, not just that specific action that one has done, but it negates and nullifies all of one's actions. This here shows you the grave danger of shirk.
قال سبحانه وتعالى إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة.
And the Shaykh, he mentioned in the ayah and the Quran is the translation of the meaning. Indeed, the one who associates partners with Allah, then Allah has made paradise forbidden for him. That's forbidden paradise for him. The one who associates partners with Allah.
كذلك مما يدل على أهمية التوحيد وتعلمه أن الله عز وجل يغفر الذنوب جميعا إلا الشرك بالله عز وجل. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. فالبدء بالأهم ثم المهم.
The Shaykh, he mentioned, and that which also indicates to the importance of Tawheed is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives all sins except for shirk. Then you mentioned the ayah in the Quran, the translation of the meaning, that Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him. Allah does not forgive that partners are set up with him. But he forgives any less than that to whom he wills. So this is that you begin with the most important affair than that which is after that.
أيضا مما يدل على أهمية التوحيد أن الشرك ولو كان قليلا فإنه يكون كما ذكرنا محبطا للأعمال كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الله تعالى: أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك، من عمل عملا أشرك فيه غيري تركته وشركه.
And that which also indicates to the great importance and significance of tawheed is the fact that shirk, this associating partners with Allah, paganism or polytheism, even if it's a small amount, then it nullifies one's actions, even the small amount. And he mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah where he mentioned, and it was narrated upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am free of shirk. And anybody who sets up partners with me in action, then I'm free of him and his shirk.
ومن نظر حال الأنبياء علم تعظيمهم للتوحيد وخوف من الشرك.
And whoever looks and ponders over the condition of the Prophet, then you will see how they would magnify and glorify tawheed and the fear of shirk.
فها هو إبراهيم عليه السلام يقول واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس.
So here you have the Prophet Ibrahim عليه السلام saying protect me and my son from worshipping idols. My Lord, indeed they have misled many people.
وهذا إبراهيم عليه السلام. ولذلك جاء عن إبراهيم جاء عن إبراهيم التيمي رحمه الله عند هذه الآية كما ذكر ذلك ابن كثير أنه قال من يأمن البلاء بعد إبراهيم.
The Shaykh, he mentioned, this is Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it has come on Ibrahim al-Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, as mentioned by Ibn Kathir, that who then feels safe from this trial after Ibrahim alayhi salam?
وَبَيَّنَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَابْنِهِ إِسْمَاعِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ وَهُمَا يَرْفَعَانِ الْبَيْتِ دعاءهما المشهور وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم.
Then he mentioned that as mentioned in the Quran by Ibrahim عليه السلام and his son Ismail عليه السلام that when they were raising the foundation of the Kaaba that the famous dua, Oh our Lord, accept this from us.
وجاء عن ابن الورد جاء عن وهيب ابن الورد وهيب ابن الورد أنه كان قرأ هذه الآية فبكى فقال خليل الرحمن يبني بيت الرحمن بأمر من الرحمن ويخشى ألا يقبل منه. خليل الرحمن يبني بيت الرحمن بأمر من الرحمن ويخشى ألا يقبل منه.
That it has come on Wahib ibn Ward that he said when he was reading this ayah which is mentioned, he began to cry. That he said that the Khalil of Ar-Rahman, the close friend of Ar-Rahman, the intimate friend of Ar-Rahman, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was building the house of Ar-Rahman by way of the command, of Ar-Rahman, and he feared that it would not be accepted from him.
ولا شك أن العلم بالتوحيد والعمل به يورث الخشية من الله عز وجل فمن كان بالله أعرف كان له أخوف.
Yeah, without a doubt that knowledge of Tawheed then it inherits fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whoever is more knowledgeable of Allah, whoever has more knowledge of Allah, then he is more fearful of him.
كما أن التوحيد هو تعظيم لله سبحانه وتعالى.
Just as Tawheed, this Tawheed that we're speaking about, is glorifying Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
ولا يعظم سبحانه وتعالى بمثل التوحيد.
And Allah سبحانه وتعالى is not glorified or there's no comparative glory of it like Tawheed. There's no way like Tawheed.
ومعلوم أن العبد لا يدخل الإسلام إلا بالتوحيد للا إله إلا الله. لذلك جاءت أنها هي أول ركن من أركان الإسلام. أول ركن من أركان الإسلام لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. فلا يدخل أحد في الإسلام إلا بتوحيد الله عز وجل.
And that's why it's well known that a slave cannot enter into Islam except with the Tawheed. That a slave cannot enter into Islam except with the Shahada, the testification that there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. You cannot enter into Islam except with this, and this is the first pillar from the pillars of Islam.
التوحيد أيها الإخوة هو حياة العبد لله سبحانه وتعالى.
التوحيد is the life of a person for Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
لا بد أن نتعرف على توحيد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى توحيد الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين.
And it's a must that we become acquainted with the tawheed of the message of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the tawheed of the companions. May Allah be pleased with all of them.
لتعلموا ما هو التوحيد المطلوب حتى تعرفوا ما هو التوحيد الذي يريده الله عز وجل منا.
So that you know what is the tawheed which is sought from you. What is the tawheed which Allah intended, that which is sought from you.
هناك ناس لو قلت لهم التوحيد ما يعرف إلا لفظ التوحيد، ما يعرف حقيقة التوحيد، فتجد مثلا لعله يدعو غير الله، يحلف بغير الله، يذبح لغير الله، ويظن أنه موحد لأنه لا يعلم من الكلمة إلا رسمها.
Now the Shaykh, he mentions that that's why you have or you will find people who, if you were to say to them a tawheed, if you were to mention to them a tawheed, then they will not know except the wording. They will not know except the wording of tawheed, they will not know the reality of tawheed. That's why you find them calling upon other Allah, swearing by other Allah, slaughtering for other Allah. That's because they do not know except the way it's written. They don't know except its wording, but not the reality of Tawheed.
كما أنه لا يعرف من العبادة إلا السجود والركوع. فإذا قلت له لا تعبد غير الله يقول أنا لا أصلي إلا لله، لأنه ما يعرف أن هناك عبادات أخرى غير الصلاة. لا يجوز صرف أي عبادة لغير الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And that's why they do not know when it comes to ibadat, when it comes to act of worship, they do not know except sujood and ruku, bowing and prostrating. And if you were to say to them that's why if you would say to them these about tawheed, they would say we don't worship other than Allah. We pray, we don't worship other than Allah, because they don't know other worship. They only know this, the salah.
ومثله اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن هناك من يشهد أن محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولكن فعله يكذب قوله، لأن أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أي لا متبوع بحق إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا إله إلا الله لا معبود بحق إلا الله، محمد رسول الله لا متبوع بحق إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتجد أنه يتبع البدع ولا يتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بفعله ولا يهتم بفعله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And likewise you have something similar when it comes to following the Prophet ﷺ, that when you say to them, or you find people that say, who testify Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, which means that no one has a right to be followed with right except the Messenger of Allah. That's why you find them not following this. You find them following innovations, following other than the Messenger of Allah, not following that which he claims. So similar to the Shahada, similar to La ilaha illallah, that they only know its wording.
وَالْجَهْلُ بِالشَّيْءِ لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ الجاهل أو عدم معرفة عظم الشيء يجعلك تزهد فيه ويجعلك لا تهتم به، لأن الإنسان عدو ما يجهل، الإنسان عدو ما يجهل.
The shaykh he mentions, and that is why ignorance with ignorance of an affair, having ignorance of being ignorant to an affair, will cause you to keep away from something. And that is why ignorance, a person is an enemy to that which he is ignorant of. A person is an enemy to that which he is ignorant of.
انظر إلى آيات ذكرها الله عز وجل في سورة الأنعام، آيات ذكرها الله عز وجل في سورة الأنعام، أريدك أن تقرأها يعني بالترجمة. أي نعم، وأنا أعطيك إياها في سورة الأنعام، لكن لا في حتى نعلم جميعا خطر في يعني الآية تبدأ من 83. من الآية أنا قلت الأنعام.
نعم
الأنعام، نعم الأنعام، سورة الأنعام 83. قال سبحانه وتعالى، انظروا إلى سياق هذه الآيات يا إخوة، لو لم يأتي في ذم الشرك من 83 إلى 88، لو لم يأتي في ذم الشرك إلا هذه الآيات لكفى. قال سبحانه وتعالى، وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه. أنا أريد تحسبوا معي الأنبياء، عدد الأنبياء الذي ذكر، كم نبي؟ أول شيء إبراهيم. وتلك حجتنا آتيناها إبراهيم على قومه نرفع درجات من نشاء إن ربك حكيم عليم. ووهبنا له إسحاق ويعقوب كلا هدينا، ونوحا هدينا من قبل، ومن ذريته داود وسليمان وأيوب ويوسف وموسى وهارون، وكذلك نجزي المحسنين. كم إلى الآن؟
عشرة.
وزكريا ويحيى وعيسى وإلياس كل من الصالحين، وإسماعيل واليسع ويونس ولوطا، وكلا فضلنا على العالمين. ومن آبائهم إلى الآن كم؟
18.
ومن آبائهم وذرياتهم وإخوانهم واجتبيناهم وهديناهم إلى صراط مستقيم. انظروا الثناء العظيم على هؤلاء الأنبياء، 18 نبيا. ثم قال سبحانه وتعالى، ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء من عباده ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. الأنبياء هذا 18 شيء لا يكون، لكن لو كان كيف يكون؟ لو أشركوا لحبطت أعمالهم سبحانه، لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. أنبياء ما تغتر لا تغتر بعلمك ولا تغتر بمكانتك ولا تغتر يعني بمقامك. الشرك يحبط الأعمال ولو كنت نبيا. ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين. بل الله فاعبد وكن من الشاكرين.
طيب. So the Sheikh, he mentions, and we're about to mention some ayat in the Quran, that these, if it wasn't just these ayat that came, if it was just except these ayat that came, refuting or confuting shirk, then they would have been sufficient. If it was only these that came, then it would have been sufficient. And count the number of prophets, as the Sheikh, he mentioned, Allah mentioned here in the ayat in the Quran. And we're going to read the translation from the normal Quran, from Muhammad Muhsin Khan. It's mentioned in ayah number 83 of Surah Al-An'am. And that was our proof, which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. Certainly your Lord is all wise, all knowing. Then the next verse, and we bestowed upon him, meaning Ishaq and Ya'qub, each of them we guided. Again, count, that's three, right, so far?
No.
We guided, and before him we guided Nuh, and amongst his progeny Dawood, Sulaiman, Ayyub, Yusuf, Musa, and Harun. Thus do we reward the Muhsinun, the good doers. Ten. And Zakariya, and Yahya, and Isa, and Ilyas, each one of them was of the righteous. And Ismail, and Elyasa, and Yunus, and Lut, each one of them we preferred above the man, above the Alameen, meaning mankind, jinn, and all that exists. 18. 18 prophets here mentioned so far. Then, the next verse, and also some of their fathers, and their progeny, and their brethren. We chose them, and we guided them to the straight path. 18 prophets. Let's praise. I'm praising them here. Then the next ayah, the translation, this is the guidance of Allah, that with which he guides whomsoever he will of his slaves. But if they had joined in worship others with Allah, all that they used to do would have been of no benefit to them. You understand that? Allah mentioned all them prophets, praised them, and then he mentioned if they would have associated partners with Allah. Though they wouldn't, the prophets wouldn't have, but if they would have, then they would have nullified everything that they used to do.
يعني لا تغتر انك تخرج من الجامعة ولا درست على المشايخ ولا درست كتب. لا تغتر. هذا الأنبياء.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned, do not be deceived with the fact that you study with the mashayikh, or you're a graduate from university. These were prophets. These were prophets. And before that he mentioned, do not be deceived by your knowledge. Do not be deceived by your rank or your status. Because shirk nullifies all actions. And here, the Prophet mentioned about the prophets. So then what about you?
كذلك مما يدل على أهمية حماية التوحيد. هذا التوحيد يحتاج إلى حماية ولا أجل ولا أعظم بعد حماية الله عز وجل حماية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لجناب التوحيد قولا وفعلا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حمى التوحيد قولا وفعلا حتى نعرف ما هو التوحيد الذي يريده الله عز وجل منا.
No. So that which also indicates, that which shows the importance of protecting one's tawheed, which we're in need of protecting our tawheed after the aid and protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The protection, the way the Messenger of Allah protected his tawheed. With his statements, with his actions so we know how to protect our tawheed.
من ذلك حماية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لجناب التوحيد قولا. فكان الصحابة إذا جاء المال من الجزية يقولون رضي الله عنهم اعطنا يا رسول الله اعطنا يا رسول الله. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما يقول لهم حديث البخاري إنما أنا قاسم والله هو المعطي. إنما أنا قاسم والله هو المعطي. غرس للتوحيد في قلوب أصحابه رضي الله تعالى عنه.
The Sheikh, he mentioned here is the proof for the Prophet ﷺ protecting Tawheed by way of his actions is that when the jizya, the protection money that the kuffar paid to the Muslims when it came to the Sahaba, when it came to the Sahaba, they said, give us some, O Messenger of Allah. And the Messenger of Allah replied to them by saying, I am the one who distributes and Allah is the one who gives. Right? Here he's engraving or implanting Tawheed in the hearts of his companions.
مع أن هذه الكلمة اعطنا ما فيها شيء، لكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريد أن يغرس التوحيد أن كل نعمة هي من الله عز وجل ولو كان هناك واسطة، فالمنعم الحقيقي هو الله سبحانه وتعالى، ونحن إنما هذه تقسيم للأرزاق، والرزاق هو الله سبحانه وتعالى.
The Sheikh, he mentioned that this word, give me, this word, in reality there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, there's no problem with this give me. However, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to firmly implant this tawheed in their hearts by every single blessing is from Allah. Every single blessing is from Allah, even if there's a medium. Even if there's a medium, because the one who truly gives is Allah. Al-Razaq, the one who provides, truly is Allah.
ومثل هذا أيضا الصحابي الذي جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ما شاء الله وشئت يا رسول الله. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غضب وقال أجعلتني الله ندا قل ما شاء الله وحده. لم يقل له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قل ما شاء الله ثم شئت، حتى ثم لم يريد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون له ثم، وإنما قل ما شاء الله وحده. كل ذلك تعليقا لقلوب أصحابه بالله عز وجل، ما علقهم به صلى الله عليه وسلم قط.
And likewise, from the proofs of the Prophet ﷺ protecting Tawheed is that which had come in the narration that one of the companions, he said, that which Allah wills and you, that which Allah wills and that which you will. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, have you made me a rival with Allah? He said, have you made me a rival with Allah? He said, say that which Allah wills alone. That's it. He didn't say that which Allah wills, then that which the Messenger will. He didn't say what Allah wills alone. That's because the Prophet ﷺ here wanted to connect the people, connect their hearts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
شيخنا الشيخ ابن عثيمين رحمه الله تعالى عند هذا الحديث قال ما يفعله بعض الناس اليوم يضع اسم الله ثم محمد بجواره، قال هذا أجعلتني الله ندا أيضا. وهذا كثير من المساجد، كثير من البيوت تجد الله محمد، وكأن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ند لله عز وجل، وهذا لا يجوز. نعم. إذا كان ما رضي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما شاء الله يعني وشئت، فكيف يرضى صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكون لله ندا هكذا؟
So the Shaykh, he mentions that one of the famous scholars, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he explained this hadith, he mentioned that that was some of the people that do today by hanging the name of Allah and then next to it the name of Muhammad. Here they've made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a rival to Allah. Here. And you see this in many of the masajids, and you see this in many of the houses, and it's not permissible. This here is not permissible. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not pleased with a person saying that which Allah wills and that which you will, then this too. What about this?
بل إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما وقعت أذية من أحد المنافقين للصحابة قالوا دعونا نقوم أو دعونا نذهب إلى رسول الله فنستغيث به على هذا المنافق لما جاءوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا رسول الله نستغيث بك على هذا المنافق. ماذا قال؟ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه لا يستغاث بي وإنما يستغاث بالله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما رضي أن يستغاث به حيا، فكيف يستغاث به ميتا صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ والاستغاثة لا بد من أربعة أركان لتكون استغاثة جائزة. لا بد من أن يكون حيا حاضرا، ثلاثة أركان: حيا حاضرا قادرا، حيا حاضرا قادرا، أن يكون حيا حاضرا قادرا، هذه ثلاثة أركان لجواز الاستغاثة بالحي. نعم.
So the Sheikh didn't mention that at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the hypocrites harmed a companion of Muhammad ﷺ. So he said, let's leave him and let's go and seek aid or deliverance from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. So when they went to him and told him about what took place, the Prophet ﷺ said to them that seeking rest, deliverance or aid like this is not sought from me, it's only sought from Allah. It's only sought from Allah. And this is whilst he is alive. Understand that point? He said this and this is whilst he is alive. How about, what about the fact that now he's passed away and people seeking aid and deliverance from him now? Then the Shaykh, he mentioned that his istighatha, seeking deliverance, is not permissible except with three conditions or with three pillars. One, that the person you're seeking deliverance or aid from must be alive. He must be alive. Number two, he must be present. He must be present. And number three, he must have the ability to do so. He must be able.
والذي يدعون الموتى هذا من الشرك. والذي يدعو الجن هذا من الشرك. ولو قال أن الجن أنهم يعني موجودون فهذا لا يجوز، لأنهم علم الغيب. هناك أيضا ملائكة، هل يجوز إنسان أن يقول يا ملائكة الله أغيثيني أو انقذيني أو يعني؟ هذا لا يجوز، هذا كله شرك. دعاء الغائب شرك، دعاء الميت شرك، دعاء كذلك الذي هو عاجز شرك، لأنك تثبت له ما لا يستطيع على فعله، تثبت له ما لا يستطيع على فعله. نعم.
So the Shaykh, you mentioned, so those that call upon the dead, or the jinn, then they commit shirk. Even if one was to say that, but the jinn are present. Even if one would say the jinn are present. This, like for example, one says that can make dua to the angels. You can't make dua to the angels. Likewise, it's a shirk. Calling upon the dead, calling upon the angels, calling upon the jinn is a shirk. Because this is calling upon something which is unseen. This is the unseen. It's a shirk.
أنا أسألكم سؤال: النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل استعان، أو بالأصح ما علاقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالجن المسلمين؟
So the Shaykh is going to ask you a question. What was the connection of the Prophet Sallam to the jinn, to the Muslim jinn? What connection did they have?
اقرأ السيرة كلها. فقط الدعوة إلى الله عز وجل أنه دعاهم، لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو للإنس والجن، فدعاهم صلى الله عليه وسلم. لكن هل طلب منهم نصرة في جهاد؟ هل قاتلوا وأمرهم بأن يقاتلوا معه مع أنه محتاج صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أن يقاتلوا معه؟ هل فعل هذا صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أبدا. فقط ما كان بينه وبينهم إلا أنهم قالوا إن سمعنا قرآنا عجبا يهدي إلى الرشد، الدعوة لله عز وجل يدعوهم. نعم.
So he answered the question by saying that the only connection between the Prophet and the jinn was that he called them to Allah, that he gave them da'wah. Read the whole of the seerah. Read the whole of the seerah. You will not find the Prophet seeking aid and help from the jinn when it comes to jihad. Right? With the fact that at times the Prophet needed help, they needed help in jihad, but he never called upon the jinn to aid them or help them. Right? He only called them to Allah. He called them to Tawheed.
والآن نسمع من يستعين بالجن ويقول لا أنا أستعين بالصالحين. أنت يا غبي، هل علمت الطالحين من الصالحين؟ أنت الإنس ما عرفتهم، ما تستطيع أن تميز بين الصالح والطالح، بين الإنس الذي تراهم وتعيش معهم وتتكلم معهم وتتعامل معهم. تريد أن تعرف أهل الصلاح من أهل الطلح؟ هذا من تلبيس إبليس على هؤلاء الناس.
The Shaykh, he mentioned right now, or in these times currently, we are hearing certain people who are seeking aid and assistance from the jinn. They seek aid and assistance from the jinn, saying they were only seeking aid and assistance from the righteous from amongst them. Like they say, they were only seeking aid from the righteous from amongst them. The Shaykh, he said, oh foolish one, oh foolish one, you don't know the righteous from the wicked from amongst the people who you work with, who you deal with. How then are you going to distinguish the righteous and from the wicked from amongst the jinn we don't see?
فذلك من حماية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لجناب التوحيد قولا ما جاء أن بعض الصحابة من المؤلف قلوبهم أنهم في غزوة من الغزوات، أظنها غزوة حنين، كانوا مروا على سدرة، شجرة سدرة للمشركين تسمى ذات أنواط، لأنهم ينوطون أي يعلقون أسلحتهم عليها يتبركون بها. فقالوا يا رسول الله اجعل لنا ذات أنواط كما لهم ذات أنواط، نريد شيء أيضا نعلق، نريد بركة. ما كانوا يعرفون هذا الحكم. هل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الآن ليس وقت الكلام في هذه المسائل، لعلهم إذا تكلمنا الآن يعني ينفرون، لعلهم كذا، لعلهم؟ لا، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال والله لقد قلتم ما قال قوم موسى لموسى اجعل لنا إلها كما لهم آلهة ولكنكم قوم تجهلون. هذا شيء لا يجوز السكوت عنه، لا يجوز السكوت عنه. لذلك أمر الشرك أمر خطير.
So the Shaykh, he mentions another example of the Prophet ﷺ protecting Tawheed is that which has come, and it's by statement, that which has come from some of the companions who, when they were passing by the Battle of Hunayn, when they were passing by a tree which the Mushrikeen used to hang their weapons from and seeking blessings by way of it. They were hanging their weapons on the tree, seeking blessings by way of it. That and what? So they said to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, make us a tree like they have a tree, not knowing the ruling. So they said, make us a tree. Now those who was bringing a new and bringing their hearts firm, making their hearts firmer in the deed. So they said, make us a tree like they have a tree. So did the Prophet stop and say to them, you know, they're new, they might flee from the deed, I'm not going to say anything to them, I'm going to leave them, here's not the time. No. Right here, he said to them, and you have said, just like the people of Musa, alayhi salam, said to Musa, make us, for lack of better terms, make us a god, like they have a god. And he said, indeed you are a people who are ignorant. This is the ayah in the Quran. So then, the Shaykh, he mentioned, here, when it comes to this, when it comes to shirk, it is not permissible to remain silent about it.
بل إن العلماء أخذوا من هذا الحديث أن تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة محرم.
So here the Shaykh mentioned that the scholars derive from this narration that delaying the needed clarification from its proper time is not permissible. Is that understood? That not clarifying that which has to be clarified in its time when it's needed is not permissible.
لأنك قد تسكت عن هذا سيموت على هذه العقيدة حتى قد تسمع هذا من شخص ثم يموت على هذه العقيدة فيموت على خطر عظيم.
The Shaykh mentions the reason being is because if you were to remain silent about this, then this person could die upon this kind of belief. He could die holding this kind of belief.
اليوم أيها الإخوة إلا من رحم الله هناك من يقول أن قضايا التوحيد أنها من القضايا قضايا الفروع ولا ينبغي أن نهتم بها اهتماما أكبر من حجمها إلى غير ذلك وهذا من أبطل الباطل هذا من أبطل الباطل ومثل هؤلاء كمثل شخص جاء إلى شخص كمثل شخص جاء إلى شخص وهذا الشخص عنده جرح يسير في إصبعه وعنده قطع في الوريد عنده قطع في الوريد وعنده جرح صغير في يده فبدأ يعالج الجرح الصغير ويقول هذا أهم كل الناس سيقولون هذا 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 مجنون كيف الوريد هذا لا بد أن تعالج أولا لأنه سبب هلاكه سبب هلاكه يعلمون ظاهرا من الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون نعم.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned that today, in our times, except whom Allah has mercy upon, you have people that say that al-Tawheed is the branches. Al-Tawheed is only the branches of the religion. And
وجه الأصول؟ الأصول عندهم؟
نعم.
كلام عن الحكام وكيف الحكومة الإسلامية وإلى غير ذلك. وهذه فروع.
So we say, what is the foundation of these people that say that Tawheed is only the branches? The foundation with them is speaking about the Muslim rulers and the Muslim governmental systems.
مع أنه لا أكثر انتبهوا لا أكثر من فرعون ليس هناك أكثر من فرعون مع هذا ماذا قال الله عز وجل لنبيه موسى وهارون عليه السلام ها فأتياه فقول له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر أو يخشى ما قال قلب الحكم عليه الأهم هو الدعوة إلى توحيد الله عز وجل موسى عليه السلام هل أجج الناس وخرجهم ضد فرعون مظاهرات إلى غير ذلك هل الأنبياء يفعلون هذا ما يفعلون إن همهم الدعوة إلى توحيد الله عز وجل نعم
Then the Shaykh mentions like there's nobody more disbelieving than Fir'aun there's no greater disbeliever than Fir'aun and with that when Musa alayhi salam went to him Allah said to him call him with gentleness perhaps he will fear or remember reflect he didn't instigate the people against him instigate the fire, the people against him, and call for demonstrations. Like saying, this wasn't the way of the prophets, demonstrations and protests. Rather, their what they call to and their importance they gave was the tawheed, the da'wah to Allah. And he mentioned that these people that say, these same people that say, it's tawheed is the branches, it's not the foundation. Don't give it more importance than it deserves. This is from the falsest of falsehoods. It's from the greatest of falsehoods. This speech right here. And their example he gave, their example is the likes of two of a person who has some type of small injury in his hand, some type of wound in his hand. And he has a cut in one of his veins. Right? He has an injury in his hand, a small little wound in his hand. And he has a cut in his veins. So instead of intending and trying to cure the vein and going to get that seed, he goes and starts to look at the wound, the smaller wound. Right, you see the foolishness in that? That instead of beginning with that which is more important, and if you were to leave that, you'd die. It's a vein. You start with the wound. That's his example.
لو نظرنا إلى سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كم مرة الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم يقولون للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ادعوا الله لنا يا رسول الله ادعوا الله لنا ما في حتى ادعوا لنا ادعوا الله لنا حتى الأعرابي في يوم الجمعة دخل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر قال يا رسول الله ادعوا الله لنا أن يغيثنا فرفع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يديه للسماء يعلم الصحابة كلهم حتى العرب منهم يعلمون أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو الله عز وجل ولا يدعى هو لا يدعى في حياته فكيف يدعى بعد موته صلى الله عليه وسلم ادعو الله لنا يا رسول الله الأعمى جاء ادعو الله لي المرأة التي تصرع فقال إن شئت دعوت الله لك أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه قال يا رسول الله ادعو الله لأمي أن تسلم ثم رجع وهو فرحان يبكي من الفرح إن الله قد استجاب لك كلها هذا دليل على ماذا على ما كان عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تعليم أصحابه التوحيد والعقيدة وكيفية الدعاء حتى الدعاء كيف يدعون الله يقول أبو بكر يا رسول الله علمني دعاء أدعو الله به اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا الحديث هذه الأدعية يا علي قل اللهم اهدني وسددني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلم أصحابه كيف يدعو الله عز وجل هناك من يدعو الأموات ما قال لهم ادعوني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يجوز أن يدعى وهو حي فكيف يدعى وهو ميت صلى الله عليه وسلم
فالشيخ يمنشن لا
ترى اليوم لأني رأيتك جبت الدفتر
لا
يداك أو كتب فوق نفع أنت سببت you brought the papers that's why صبر الله يزاخ احنا نشتغل كرمك
جزاك الله خير الشيخ يمنشن ذا السيرة if you look at the سيرة of the Prophet sallam the سيرة mean his biography if you look at his life if you read about the life of the Prophet sallam you will see how many times the companions came to the Prophet sallam and said invoke Allah for us. Right? That they went to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, invoke Allah for us. Even the Bedouin, for example. Right? The Bedouin. Go to the Prophet ﷺ and say, we invoke Allah for us. For to rescue us, deliver us. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for them. And you see that even the Bedouin from amongst them and the likes of them, they knew that the Prophet ﷺ is not to be called upon. Right? If he's not to be called upon in his life, if he's not to be called upon while he's alive, because notice that he mentioned, he gave examples of, for example, the blind man, the companion, رضي الله تعالى عنه, the example of the woman with the epilepsy, the example of Abu Huraira, when he asked Prophet to make dua for his mother, and he was happy when she accepted Islam, and he came back because he was happy his dua, and Prophet was accepted for him. So here the companion.
لقد استجاب الله دعاءك.
No, that Allah answered your dua. So here the example that he gave to the companion, asking the Prophet ﷺ while he's alive to make dua for them and not asking him. The example of Prophet ﷺ would teach them التوحيد. And here's an example of Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه and Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه. But Prophet ﷺ teaching them du'as, teaching them to call upon Allah.
وكذلك وصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاد. يا معاد والله إني لأحبك. كررها ثلاثا بأبيه وأمي صلى الله عليه وسلم. ثم قال له فلا تدعنا دبر كل صلاة أن تقول اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك.
The Shaykh mentioned likewise the advice of the Prophet sallam to the companion Mu'adh رضي الله عنه. Where he said to Mu'adh, for indeed I love you. And he taught him the dua, do not leave off after every salah, saying, O Allah, aid me.
عني على ذكرك.
Aid me upon your remembrance.
وشكرك
وحسن عبادة. Your thankfulness and worship in a good manner.
كذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما كان في الغار هو ومن صاحبه أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، لم تذكر صحبة في القرآن إلا صحبة أبي بكر، ولذلك العلماء يقولوا من أنكر صحبة أبي بكر فقد كفر. من أنكر صحبة أبي بكر فقد كفر. لماذا؟ لأن صحبة أبي بكر رضي الله عنه ذكرت في القرآن. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه. والعلماء يقولون انظر إلى حب أبي بكر رضي الله عنه للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه لم يتخلف عنه قط حتى في الغار، حتى في الغار كان معه. هذا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه قال يا رسول الله لو نظر أحدهم إلى قدمي أو عند قدمي لأبصرنا. ماذا قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا بكر؟ هل قال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أبا بكر أنا معك، يا أبا بكر أنا رسول الله، يا أبا بكر أنا؟ لا، ما قال هذا صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا أبا بكر ما ظنك باثنين الله ثالثهما إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. هذه العقيدة إن الله معنا، ما هو القبر الفلاني ولا السيد الفلاني ولا، إن الله معنا. الذي يدعو غير الله لا يعظم الله سبحانه وتعالى، يريد بديل عياذا بالله. ولذلك إن الشرك لظلم عظيم لا أظلم من الشرك.
الشيخ mentioned now the example of when the Prophet was in the cave. When he's in the cave and with him or alongside him in the cave was a famous companion, may Allah be pleased with him, Abu Bakr. That he mentioned, then the Shaykh mentioned another benefit, that whoever, and it's mentioned in the Quran that Abu Bakr was his companion in the cave. The scholars they mentioned that whoever rejects the companionship of Abu Bakr alongside Prophet, then he disbelieved. Whoever rejects that Abu Bakr was the companion of the Prophet, then this one has disbelieved. Because it's mentioned in the Quran. Because it's mentioned in the Quran. And the Shaykh he mentioned that in the cave when Abu Bakr, he said if they were to look at their feet they would see us. And if they were mushrikeen who were chasing them, if they were to look down at their feet they would then see us. So here, if you look at when the Prophet replied to him, he didn't say to him, I am the Messenger of Allah, I'm with you, you're okay, I'm with you. He didn't say that to him. Rather he said, what do you think about two if Allah is the third? Meaning Allah is with them, protecting them. And Allah is with them. Do not grieve, Allah is with them. The famous ayah. That here the Prophet ﷺ was teaching him at Tawheed. And then the Shaykh mentioned the ayah, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَلِيمٌ. That indeed shirk is from the greatest oppressions. There's nothing, no oppression, nothing worse than a shirk.
أيضا انظر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يستغل المواقف لبيان التوحيد وخطر أن يمس التوحيد بأي سوء. لما مات إبراهيم ابن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حدث كسوف. لم يحدث في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كسوف إلا مرة واحدة فقط، تعرفون الكسوف مرة واحدة حدثت في زمن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقط. متى؟ عندما مات إبراهيم. وكان أهل الجاهلية يعتقدون أن إذا كسفت الشمس أو يعني خسف القمر فإنه هناك أمر عظيم حصل، يعني موت عظيم أو يعني ولادة عظيم، لابد من شخص عظيم. وانظروا إلى هذا الابتلاء، يموت إبراهيم ابن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنه يموت، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقوم أمام الصحابة فيقول إن الشمس والقمر آيتان لا ينكسفان لموت أحد ولا لحياته. حماية لجناب التوحيد حتى لا يكون هناك يعني شك، حتى ما يحدث شيء، وحاش الصحابة رضي الله عنهم يحدث في قلوبهم شيء، لكن ليبين أن هذه مناسبة لبطلان عقيدة، أنا أذكر لما مات شيخنا الشيخ العثيمين رحمه الله تعالى حصل كسوف، وأنا يعني أذكر هذا وأنا موجود، حصل كسوف في الليلة نفسها الذي مات فيها الشيخ، سبحان الله. فهذا ابتلاء وهذا فتنة لبعض الناس، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أيضا بين هذا، وهذا من باب حماية التوحيد. نعم
سيد الشيخ حفظه الله، he mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would take advantage, he would take advantage of the opportunity to clarify certain positions, certain situations, to clarify al-tawheed and the danger of that which opposes it. He would take advantage of certain situations to clarify the danger of shirk and to clarify al-tawheed. Like for example, that's a great example. He gave an example when the son of the Prophet ﷺ, Ibrahim radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, an eclipse took place. Right? When his son passed away, there was an eclipse. And an eclipse, if you know, didn't take place during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ except one time. Right? Understand? It didn't take place during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ except one time. And the people of Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic ignorance, the Kufar, the pagans, they used to believe that these eclipses that would take place, whether it be solar or lunar, but when they take place, these eclipses, then they occur either during an affair which is great, during the death of somebody, or somebody important was born. They like to have these beliefs. So this is a trial. Right? This is a trial. You think about the situation, trial, that his son alayhi salatu wa salam passed away. Eclipse occurred. The people of his time believed that it only happened during a significant or an important event. So the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up in front of his companions and he said to them, here protecting Tawheed, he said to them that the sun and the moon are only signs of Allah. The sun and the moon are the signs of Allah. And what? And they do not, an eclipse does not occur because of the death of anyone.
And then,
or the birth of anyone. So these are different occasions or events which the Prophet ﷺ took advantage of to clarify a tawheed. And the Shaykh, he mentioned that he remembers himself when the famous and great scholar, Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Haymin, when he passed away, an eclipse occurred. When Ibn al-Haymin passed away, an eclipse occurred. This is a trial for the people. It doesn't mean anything, but it's a trial for the people.
نعم كذلك مما يدل على حماية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه حلف بأبيه، وهذا في بداية الأمر. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ذلك، قال لا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا بأمهاتكم من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك، ولا تحلفوا بآبائكم ولا أمهاتكم من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو ليصمت، وفي حديث آخر من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن ذلك، وبداية الأمر الصحابة في بداية الأمر لأن تعودت ألسنتهم على الحلف باللات والعزة وبآبائهم كانوا يحلفون، فلما بدأوا في الإسلام ما زال اللسان تعود، فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرهم بأن يقولوا لا إله إلا الله، من حلف يعني خطأ فإن كفارته أن يقول لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له.
So the Sheikh, he mentions an example of the Prophet ﷺ protecting Tawheed is when he heard Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu swearing by his father, and this is in the beginning of here, that the Sahaba, they were used to swearing by Allah other than Allah in the beginning of the affair. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not swear by your fathers. Do not swear by your fathers. Whoever swears by other than Allah, he has disbelieved or committed shirk. He had disbelieved or committed shirk. He was teaching them. In the beginning of the affair, they used to swear, they were accustomed to that. So the Prophet ﷺ corrected them by saying, whoever swears by other than Allah has committed shirk or disbelieved.
وأيضا علمهم قالوا لا إله إلا الله.
No. And he taught them as an expiation of the one who swears by other than Allah to say لا إله إلا الله. To say لا إله. حاجة شغلة.
Maybe.
شغل.
طيب. نعم أخرى. Maybe الشفك. No, just tell him someone, maybe the wire.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ also taught them the expiation. That the expiation for an individual who swears by other than Allah is to say La ilaha illallah. And to clarify again, that La ilaha illallah in Arabic is understood, but La ilaha illallah does not mean there is no God but Allah. It means there is no deity that has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone. He would teach him to say this if one was to swear by other than Allah.
أيضا مما يدل على أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يستغل هذه المواقف التي تحدث لغرس التوحيد في قلوب أصحابه رضي الله تعالى عنهم أجمعين، ما ثبت بالحديث الصحيح في الحديبية أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن معه أنهم مطروا تلك الليلة، الله عز وجل أنزل عليهم مطرا في تلك الليلة، ففي الفجر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لهم أتدرون ماذا قال ربكم؟ قالوا الله ورسوله أعلم. قال الله أصبح من عبادي مؤمن بي وكافر، فمن قال مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته فهو مؤمن بي كافر بالكوكب، ومن قال مطرنا بنوء كذا وكذا فهو كافر بي مؤمن بالكوكب، وهذا لأنه على إثر سماء على مطر، ولذلك من السنة هناك ثلاث سنن في المطر، هناك قل ثلاث أو أربع سنن في المطر، أربع سنن في المطر. الأولى أنك تتعرض له المطر، تتعرض له يعني أنه يصيب جسدك، حديث عدم ربه أي يعني بإنزال الله عز وجل له. الأمر الثاني أن تقول اللهم صيبا نافعا، أيضا هذا من السنة. الأمر الثالث إذا اشتد وخشيت منه أن تقول اللهم حوالينا ولا علينا، اللهم حوالينا ولا علينا، كما ثبت عن النصارى اللهم على الآكام وعلى الأودية وعلى. الأمر الرابع وهذه سنة يعني قليل من يفعلها، أنك تقول بعد انتهاء المطر مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته، هذه من السنة، مطرنا بفضل الله ورحمته.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned another example, the example of Hudaybiyah. That the example of Hudaybiyah, that here is an example of the Prophet ﷺ taking advantage of certain situations to engrave in his companions at-tawheed. And the example of Hudaybiyah was at night, it rained. Now in the night time, it rained. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to his companions, do you know what your Lord has said to you? And they said, Allah and His Messenger know best. Allah and His Messenger know best. He said that in the morning or when has woken up a believer in me and disbeliever in the star, and a believer in the star and disbeliever in me. He said the one who says it has rained by the grace of Allah and His mercy, then he is a believer in Allah, and a disbeliever in the star. And the one who says that it has rained because of the star, then he is a believer in the star and a disbeliever in Allah. And it's an example of the Prophet ﷺ, right after taking advantage of the rainfall, to clarify at-tawheed, that he wouldn't remain silent. And then the Shaykh, he mentions as a benefit that there are four sunan. And there are four sunnas, and when it comes to the rain, when rain falls, there are four sunnas to do. The first one is that you expose some of your body to the rain, that the rain touches you, your head or some parts of your body. Because as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that this is new, it's recent from my Lord, in a narration. And number two, that you say the dua, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'ah. Oh Allah, make this rain beneficial. And number three is that if the rainfall increases and becomes severe, then you say, oh Allah, around us and not on us. This is dua the Prophet, a famous dua was known that he used to make. And the fourth one is, and it's, the Shaykh he mentioned this is seldom that it's done, the fourth one, is that you say, Mutirna, that is rained upon us with the virtue of Allah and His mercy.
No. بل إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى أحدا من الصحابة في عضده خيط، في عضده خيط، فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هذا؟ قال من الواهنة، مرض يوهن الإنسان حتى يموت. قال من الواهنة يعني أدفع بها الواهنة. قال انزعها لا تزيدك إلا وهنا. استفاد العلماء من هذا الحديث ومن حديث من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له، أن من أراد أو من ابتغى النصرة من غير الله عز وجل أو القوة من غير الله فإنه يجازى بالضد، يجازى بالضد.
Another example that the Shaykh gave was when the Prophet ﷺ, he seen one of his companions with a string tied around his bicep. A string tied around his bicep.
هذا مثل الآن البلاستيك هذا الذي يكون في أيدي بعض الشباب.
نعم.
اللاتين.
Yes.
نفس الشيء.
The wristband, for example, some of the youth they wear are things which are for good luck. So he said, the Prophet seen him with that string tied around his bicep and said to him, what is this? What is this? He said, it is to protect me from weakness or a type of illness in the arm of weakness. So the Prophet said, remove it, for it would not increase you except in weakness. And if you were to die wearing this, you would not be successful. If you were to die wearing this, you would not be successful. And the scholars take from this, they say that whoever seeks aid or any type of assistance or any type of honor from something, he will increase in weakness and increase in the sickness.
هذا مثل يعني لو قيل لبعض الناس اتخذ هذا في بيتك لأنه يعطيك بركة ويأتي بالبركة على البيت، هذا يزداد البيت خسارة ويزداد المشاكل في البيت. المرأة التي يقال لها افعلي كذا مما حرم الله عز وجل حتى تستقطبي يعني قلب يعني الزوج حتى تحفظي أولادك إلى غير ذلك، يزداد الخسارة ويزداد البعد والشقاق والمشاكل، لأن المعاملة بنقيض القصد.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned this is just like for example somebody would say to somebody or said to somebody, put this in your house, put this thing in your house as a form of protection or to increase in blessings. Rather, this thing that you put in your house would not increase the house except in problems, except in calamities.
مثل مصحف في البيت، عفوا مصحف في السيارة ما يقرأ منه، فقط يريد بركة المصحف.
Like for example when people put the
مصحف
a copy of the Quran, مصحف is a copy of the Quran. When they put a copy of the Quran in their car, not to read but for blessings. This is like a amulet now. That you're not reading it but you're putting it there for blessings. Right?
البركة في قراءة والعمل به، ليس في أوراقه ولا الحبر.
And the blessings is from reading it and acting upon it, not by the ink nor the papers. Okay. So the Shaykh, he also mentions, like for example, a woman who has said to her, take such and such or do such and such thing means so that you can get or bring or attract, bring the love of your husband.
والتولة هي أنت مثل السحر حتى يقرب الزوج، وهذا الأصل فيه أنه يكون يعني يفرق وليس يجمع.
Like tawala, some form of love potion to bring the husband closer, to bring the spouses together. This is shirk. This rather separates. It separates and divides. It doesn't bring together. It does not bring together. So these things only increase problems and increase calamities.
أيضا يا إخوة لا ننسى أن الموحد دائما متفائلا بالخير، فتجد أنه يعلق الخير بالله عز وجل ويعلم أن ما شاء الله سيكون وما لم يشأ لا يكون، واعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك.
So the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Muwahid, the one that singles out Allah alone in worship, that he is always optimistic. That the person of Tawheed is always optimistic. He always connects good. He always connects good with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he knows that which Allah wills was going to reach you, and that which Allah did not will would not reach you. This is the believer, the person of Tawheed.
كما قال الله عز وجل الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا. قال السلف صاحب التوحيد كلما أخيف بغير الله كلما اشتد خوفه لله.
The Sheikh, he mentions the ayah, the traditional ayah that is said in the Quran. They say that the people have gathered against you. Fear them, they've gathered against you, and that did not increase them except in iman. So the scholars, they say,
أن صاحب التوحيد كلما أخيف بغير الله كلما اشتد خوفه لله.
That the person of Tawheed, that every time he is made to fear other than Allah, then his fear only increases from Allah. Is that clear? That the person of Tawheed, from this ayah, the scholars they mention, the person of Tawheed, every time he is made to, or he is said to him, or he is made to fear other than Allah, then his fear of Allah only increases.
And you have scared, and you be scared.
No. To intimidate or scare, no.
And you حاولون أن يخوفوه.
They try to intimidate him or make him fear or scare him, as the Sheikh said.
نعم. أيضا أيها الإخوة صاحب التوحيد يؤمن كما ذكرنا بقضاء الله وقدره ويحسن الظن بربه لأنه يعرف ربه ويعرف أسماءه وصفاته ويحبه. والمحبة تبعث الامتثال، حبك للشيء يجعلك يعني تطيعه، فكلما اشتد كان يعني حبك لله أعظم كلما سارعت إلى الامتثال لأوامره سبحانه وتعالى.
The Sheikh, he mentioned that the person of Tawheed, then he believes in the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes in the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he has good thoughts about Allah. He has good thoughts about his Lord. He knows him by his names, and he knows him by his attributes, and he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an individual obedient to him, and makes the individual comply to the command of Allah.
أختم بنهي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن إطرائه، وهذا من حماية جناب التوحيد، لأن الغلو هو أعظم بوابة للشرك. الغلو أعظم بوابة للشرك. فلما قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا سيدنا وابن سيدنا، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنما أنا عبد، فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. ثم قال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم، إنما أنا عبد، فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ينهى عن الإطراء والمبالغة في المدح، وهذا كله من حماية التوحيد. ولذلك انظر الذين غلوا في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عبدوا من دون الله. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو الله حتى إذا انقطع شفع نعله، رباط نعله إذا انقطع يدعو الله عز وجل، يدعو الله عز وجل. وفي غزوة بدر يدعو الله عز وجل، يقول اللهم يعني انتهلك هذه العصابة فلن تعبد في الأرض، يدعو الله ويلح، حتى قال له أبو بكر لقد ألححت على ربك أكثرت السؤال. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكثر من دعاء الله عز وجل ويستعين بالله عز وجل، يستعين بالله في جميع أوامر. ثم يترجم أخنا صاحب الله. أيضا أختم بهذه الكلمة، هناك اليوم من تسمع منهم اعتمد على نفسك، لابد أن تثق بنفسك، لابد أن تنمي الثقة بالنفس. هذه من الكلمات التي تردد، ثقة بالنفس، وأنك يعني تعتمد على نفسك، أنك يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من دعائه اللهم لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين، لا تكلني إلى نفسي. كيف أنت تقول أنا أثق في نفسي أو أنا يعني أثق في نفسي أو أنه يظن أنه تنمية الثقة بالنفس، هكذا يقولون تنمية الثقة بالنفس. الإنسان ضعيف بنفسه، قوي بالله عز وجل. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يحيينا وإياكم جميعا على التوحيد، وأن يميتنا عليه، وأن يرضى عنا وعنكم جميعا، وأن يعيذنا بوجهه الكريم أن نشرك به ما ليس لنا به علم. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك أن نشرك بك ونحن نعلم، ونستغفرك فيما لا نعلم، والله تعالى أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من عبد ورسول محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
So likewise, the Shaykh, he mentioned, he will conclude with this last point, that he mentioned the Prophet ﷺ used to forbid overpraising him. He would forbid overpraising him to protect his tawheed. That from the greatest forms of shirk and going into extremes, this is from the greatest gateways to shirk, going into extremes and praising people and individuals. So here, when the companion said to the Prophet sallam, oh, our master, our chief, the son of our master, our chief, the Prophet sallam said, say what you have to say, but I am a slave of Allah and His Messenger. He said, do not raise me like the Christians raised Isa, the son of Maryam. For say, the slave of Allah and His Messenger. And here teaching the companions of Tawheed, forbidden from going into extremes in praising. And this here is likewise like a reputation of those that go into extremes and the Prophet ﷺ up until they worship him. They go into the Prophet ﷺ forbade him from praising him like that. How about those that worship him then? Right, now, so the Shaykh, he mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ used to call upon Allah like the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, when he made dua to Allah, oh Allah, if this group is destroyed, then you would not be worshipped upon the earth. And he urged and asked for this dua. So the point where Abu Bakr, he said, you asked, he put his hands up. So the Shaykh, he mentions that today, you hear this call today from the people, especially here with us, when you hear this call, they rely on yourself, they have trust in yourself, or have a reliance upon yourself. The likes of these statements that you hear, look how this opposes the Prophet ﷺ, the dua that he used to make. He used to say, La takilni ila nafsi tarfata'i, do not leave me to rely upon myself, even for the moment of the blinking of an eye. Right? Even for a blinking of an eye, do not leave me to be entrusted to myself. You see how it opposes it? So then he mentions that that the call that they mentioned, have trust in yourself, anything. So, khalas. So he finished with this, and now we'll take the questions and answers. Bidni Allah ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khairan. If any of the sisters also have questions, if they could just pass it over. We're collecting the questions written on the index cards. So we've collected some from the brother's side. If sisters have any questions, we can pass them through the side here, inshallah. Thanks.
Okay, then I'll take a shahana.
And we're praying Asr at 4:30, yeah. So we'll get through as many questions as we can, and then at 4:30 we'll pray Asr, and food will be right after the prayer after that, inshallah.
So the first question is, Assalamu alaikum Shaykh, how can we protect ourselves from bad intentions of people?
ايش مكتوب هنا سحر؟ intentions.
نعم سحر.
سحر؟ intention يعني سحر ولا intention هو لا؟
أظن bad intention يعني السحر.
يعني يريد السحر.
نعم.
اعمل الصالحات وادعو الله عز وجل أن يحفظك. الله عز وجل يقول وما هم بضارين به من أحد إلا بإذن الله.
So the Sheikh, he said, do righteous actions and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As he recites the ayah in the Quran, that they are not able to harm you. They are not, none of them are able to harm you except with the permission of Allah.
When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يقول احفظ الله احفظك.
And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you preserve Allah, meaning the commandments and prohibitions, Allah will preserve you. So the question is, can you share some ayahs of the Quran for reciting during the conditions of sihr, magic?
Ayat al-Kursi. أفضل آية في القرآن الكريم آية الكرسي وسورة البقرة وآل عمران كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تستطيعها البطلة يعني السحرة.
He mentioned آية الكرسي. آية الكرسي is the greatest ayah, greatest verse in the Quran. And سورة البقرة and سورة آل عمران, the magicians are not able to with this surah.
كذلك خواتيم سورة البقرة.
And likewise the ending of سورة البقرة.
كذلك المعوذات.
And likewise the معوذات الفلق من الناس.
وقل هو الله أحد.
قل هو الله أحد.
وأيضا الفاتحة. هذا الذي ثبت.
And سورة الفاتحة. This is what has been established.
نعم. وأيضا ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من أراد أن يخرج من بيته فليقول بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
And also when you leave your house you say the dua بسم الله توكلت على الله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
وثبت أن الملك أن ملكا يقول هديت ووقيت وكفيت وتنحى عن طريق الشيطان.
It has been established that an angel responds and says you've been guided
ووقيت,
you've been protected
وكفيت,
and you've been sufficed
وتنحى عن طريق الشيطان.
And the shaitan has been removed from your path.
الذي يداوم على قراءة سورة البقرة في بيته فهناك وعد أن الشيطان لا يدخل بيته.
Whoever is continuous upon reading سورة البقرة in his house, then the shaitan will not enter his house.
وليس سماعها من الشريط وإنما قراءتها, ولو يعني هو قرأ بعضها وزوجته قرأت بعضها وأولاده, المهم أنه يقرأ, لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال البيت الذي يقرأ فيه سورة البقرة, فلو يعني قرأ كل يعني شيء فلا بأس.
And this does not include listening to the tape, listening to a tape. Rather, one it must be read. Surah Al-Baqarah must be read. Even if, for example, he reads it, a portion of it, his wife reads a portion of it, and his children read a portion of it, what's important is that it's read. Because the shaitan does not enter a house where Baqarah is recited.
هذا مثل الرقية. الرقية لا تكون من شريط ولا مسجلة. الرقية لابد من نفس. شيخنا الشيخ ابن سعباد قال إذا كانت المسجلة تنفث عليك ما في مشكلة, لكن أنا لك ذلك. أيوة. لا يا أخوة, this has to be in order. أيوة خلاص. ضعوه هنا.
Likewise رقية, just like رقية, رقية has to be in person, right? It cannot be from a tape or from a recording. It says رقية has to include small amounts of spit. And as the Sheikh he mentioned, Abdul Nusra al-Abbad, he said, if the tape or the recorder can spit, then no.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, do it.
Yalla. Enter, go ahead, aqra. Yalla, yalla. Aqra. Jazakallah.
Next question. It was just brought to my attention that I'm wearing copper socks. They say that they relieve pain. Is that shirk to wear these types of socks? And should I take the socks off right now?
هل هذا يعني هذا الجورب أو هذا الشراب لأجل يعني هل هو صحيح طبي؟ هل هو طبي؟
الشيخ بن باز له فتوى قال حرام.
لا لا الآن أنا أريد أن أعرف يعني هناك جورب يسموه traveling مثلا socks. Traveling socks because it comes يعني all the way up. So يعني هذا لا بأس, هذا لا بأس به. الشيء إذا كان صحيح يعني له فائدة مثل الدواء يكون, لكن هذه الأسورة هذه ليس لها أصلا يعني ليس لها حقيقة. الشيخ بن باز رحمه الله يقول لو كان لها حقيقة أن تخرج الشحنات وأن كذا لجاز مثل الدواء. ولذلك يعني لابد من تفصيل هذه الأمور. إذا كان هذا الجورب لضغط مثل القدم حتى يعني الدم إلى غير ذلك فهذا جائز، لأن هذا تجربة وهذا موجود وله يعني. أما إذا كان غير يعني ليس له تجربة وليس له نفع حقيقي فهذا هو التعلق بغير الله، لأن هذه تكون أشياء نفسية. نعم.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned that these facts that are being asked about, do they have a correct and authentic established benefit, medical benefit? Is something established? Like for example, the compression socks that you wear that aid the blood, for example. These are established, they have medical benefits. If it does, and something like these, the braces people wear, there's no benefit in that. This is shit. These braces that if you wear, there's no benefit in them. So these things, if they have an actual
benefit,
no, these are things just in the people's minds. Some of these things, and there's no benefit to them. So if it's established by any other, if it's established and there's a medical benefit which is known, then it's like medicine. But if it's not, and it's just like that, then it's to be avoided.
خذ الأسئلة المتعلقة الآن بالتوحيد.
خذ الكتاب يعني ما تنسى بيش فريق فريق البيت.
طيب.
The next question is, what book do you recommend that every household should have?
أنا أنصح أولا بكتاب الله عز وجل، ثم ثانيا بكتاب رياض الصالحين وقراءة شيء من شرحه، فإن هذا كتاب نفع الله به وجمع علوما كثيرة.
So the Shaykh, he mentions that the first thing I advise with is the book of Allah, the Quran.
والتفسير الميسر، أي شيء ميسر.
And after that he said الرياض الصالحين. الرياض الصالحين and some explanation, some of it, something of an explanation of it. And likewise he mentioned easy or a simple tafsir. So we hang the eye not for protection but for beautification, and not for shirk but for beautification, not for jalb al-nafr, not to bring about harm nor word of any evil
whatsoever. هذا محرم لأنه مشابهة، هذه مشابهة، وهذا أمر شركي، لا يجوز إنسان أن يزين بيوته بأمور الشرك.
So he said this is impermissible, this is not permissible, because imitating that which is haram, it's imitating that which is haram.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما جاء رجل قال يا رسول الله نذرت أن أذبح لله عز وجل ببوانة مكان، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكان فيها عيد للمشركين؟ أكانت يعني فيها يعني أصنام تعبد من دون الله؟ فلما قال له لا قال اذهب وفعل. فإذا أنت هذه فيها مشابهة، فيها مشابهة للمشركين، مشابهة المشركين لا يجوز، من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned the example of one of the companions coming to the Prophet and asking him, he wanted to offer a slaughter for a vow that he had in a place called Buwana. So the Prophet asked him, were there celebrations, any celebration of the pagans, the mushrikeen here?
لأن هذا يحيي هذه الأمور الشركية.
Because this, if, and then he asked him, is there any idols here that were worshipped? He said no. Then he told him to go ahead.
وانتبه كان فيها عيدا حتى لا تكون أنت سبب لإحياء الشرك.
And pay attention that they used to be. Asking him about what it used to be. So you have to be careful of not being a reason to revive shirk. So you understand the connection why he said it's not permissible to hang that, because it imitates that which is shirk, just like this hadith. So don't be a reason to revive paganism, shirk.
استعانة بالله
يعني وماذا بالشخص الذي ولد من والدي الذين استعانا بالجن وتربوا بهذه التربية. The question is seeking aid from other than Allah for a person that was born from seeking the aid of jinn and grew up from such influence. What's the faith of such person?
هو يهتم بتصحيح عقيدته ويهتم بتصحيح عقيدة والديه إن كان أحياء.
He must give importance and concern himself with correcting his own aqidah, his own creed, his own belief, and then the creed of his parents if they are alive.
وهذا هو أعظم بر توصله للوالدين أن يكون هدايتهما على يديك.
And this is the greatest forms
بعد هداية الله عز وجل. نعم.
Of being good to them. This is the greatest form of that, of being good to your parents.
أن يهديهم الله عز وجل على يديك.
That Allah guides them. That Allah guides them by way of your hands after, of course, the guidance of Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
وهذا أيضا مثل الذي سبق تفضل.
So the question: what is the ruling on hanging wind chimes outside the house?
هل يعتقدون فيها عقيدة؟ هذه يعني وضع هذه الذي لأجل الهواء حتى يضرب، هل عندهم عقيدة فيها؟ أنا أسألكم هل هم يعتقدون؟
So he's asking you, is there a belief behind this? Do they have a certain belief behind these wind chimes? Is there a belief behind
صوت تحدث كالجلجل، هذا محرم. الأصوات هذه يعني مثل الجرس، الجرس محرم.
So he said, but rather
الجلجل هذه الذي توضع في يعني الدواب هذه محرمة.
He said this is impermissible from the angle of it's like a bell. It makes the sound of a bell that people hang on their riding animals. The bell sounds. So it's from impermissible.
تطرد الملائكة.
And this here pushes away or expels the angels.
نعم. هل قرأنا؟
لا. وقال يمكن إذا كان هو غير راسخ في العلم وكيف يدعو من حوله؟
هو؟
لا.
قرأ.
طيب. And then the next question: if a person is not very well grounded in knowledge of the religion, what should he do in regards to da'wah with those who are around him?
يتعلم ويعلم. يتعلم ويعلم.
He must learn and then teach.
ولا يعلم ما لم يتعلم.
And he cannot teach that which he does not know, that which he hasn't learned.
قالوا ربنا لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا.
That they said that we have no knowledge except that which you taught us.
ليس من شرطي.
It is not a condition.
الذي يعلم أن يكون عالما بكل شيء.
It's not a condition that the one who teaches is knowledgeable by every single thing.
ولكن من شرطه أن يكون عالما بما يعلم.
But the condition is that he is knowledgeable of that which he is teaching.
يعلم الناس التوحيد يعرف ما هو التوحيد. يعلم الناس سنة كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغوا عني ولو آية. والتبليغ هنا تبليغ الآية تبليغان، تبليغ تلاوة وتبليغ معنى. فإذا كان يستطيع أن يبلغ آية يعلم إنسان كيف يقرأ الفاتحة هذا خير عظيم. إذا كان ما يعرف كيف يعلم قراءة يعلم وعنده فهم للمعاني فإنه يعلم المعنى. فهكذا بلغ عني، ولا بد أن تتأكد أنه عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم، هل صحيح ولا ضعيف؟ هذه لها شروط. نعم.
That the Sheikh mentioned that you must have knowledge of that which you're teaching, and he mentioned a hadith that conveyed from me even a single verse that this means it's conveying is of two types. That you convey from the Prophet sallam either the recitation or the meaning. That if you know something, you memorize it, but you don't know, you can pass on its recitation, convey that. Or if you understand the meaning, then you convey the meaning. And then he mentioned that you must know though what is authentic and what is weak, and this is has its conditions. The question: what is the correct or the, what is the right time on Friday to make du'a? Some people.
الراجح أنها آخر ساعة قبل غروب الشمس.
The Sheikh he mentions that which is the most correct is that it's the last hour before the sun sets.
نعم.
الدين يعني نعرف أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كان عليه دين، فهل يعني هذا الدين مطلوب؟ requested it with someone who offered it. وهل أحد اقترح له هذا الدين فهو قبل؟
طيب يا.
هل نتجنب؟
نقرأ الأول. اللي عنده 20 سؤال نأخذ سؤال واحد.
The question, as we know, the Prophet ﷺ was in debt. Was this a requested debt, or did someone offer it and he accepted it?
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتاج إلى طعام، احتاج إلى طعام صلى الله عليه وسلم، فرهن درعه عند يهودي، والرهن هو مقابل الدين، فإذا ما أعطاه الدين فإنه يأخذ الرهن. ولم يسأل الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، لأن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم لو سألهم لأعطوه بدون دين، ما كانوا يرضون أن يعطوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دينا، ولذلك ما كان من خلقه الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم ما يسأل الصحابة، وإنما يسأل من يقبل أن يأخذ الدين أو أن يعطيه بعد ذلك.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he was in need of food. So he pawned, he gave his a shield as a pawn for the food. But he gave something for something, meaning if he didn't pay his debt, then they would take his shield. So there is no debt in reality. The shield is there, which is the value of what he took. And he didn't used to ask his companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, because if he would have asked them, they would have gave it to him without asking for anything. Right? So he asked those that accept from him something to pawn. Is that clear?
نعم. أيضا يا إخوة على سؤال السؤال الأول في السحر، أنا أذكر كلمة طيبة جدا، كلمة طيبة أريد أن أخبركم بها ويترجمها هنا شيخ ناصر حفظ الله.
So about the first question about magic, the Sheikh he said he remembers some good speech regarding it. And
سئل شيخنا الشيخ ربيع حفظ الله تعالى هل إيجاد هذه المراكز لقراءة القرآن على الناس، قراءة القرآن على الناس، هل هذا مشروع؟
So he said that our Sheikh, Sheikh Rabi' حفظه الله تعالى, was asked, these centers or these clinics that are here today, which are used to reach Quran upon the people, is this something, meaning for ruqya, is this something legislated?
فقال الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى هذه ليست مشروعة، علموا الناس التوحيد وستهرب الشياطين.
So the Sheikh he said these centers or clinics of ruqya are not legislated. Teach the people tawheed and you will see that these shayateen will flee.
الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ما كانوا يعرفون من الذي يقرأ، ولذلك حديث أبي سعيد الخدري قال فخرج منا رجل لم نكن نظن أنه يقرأ أو لم نكن نعبى بقراءته، هو أبو سعيد لكن أخفى نفسه رضي الله عنه، قال فخرج منا رجل، ما قال فخرجت أنا.
So the Sahaba they didn't know who.
ما كانوا يعرفون فلان راقي.
No.
هذا الشيء ما كان معروف هكذا.
Who from amongst them would recite, meaning recite ruqya from them, they would leave and they would say that so and so left from amongst them doing ruqya was Abu Sa'id, but he wouldn't say me. It wasn't known that this one is a raqi as is today.
راقي وليس عراقي. في عراقيين عراقي. طيب هيا كمان ايش ال قلنا فيها المهتمة بالعقيدة
هذا عن الشباب الذين لا يحضرون المساجد.
ايوه صلى الله.
Can I ask a clarification on one of the questions before you move on?
لا أكتب. Write. تفضل.
طيب.
كل الناس يريدوا عليه clarification. ذاك الله خير. خذ أعطيه. أعطيه. هل يكتب إياه؟
The question. السلام عليكم شيخ. How do we reach out to the youth who don't show up at the masajid? Is it permissible to go door to door and give da'wah? Please suggest.
هذا للمسلمين؟
نعم الشباب لا يحضرون المساجد.
أنا أنصح نفسي وإخواني جميعا أن نربي أبنائنا على التوحيد.
He said, advise myself and all of my brothers to nurture ourselves upon tawheed.
لأن الموحد الموحد دائما على خير.
Because the muwahid, the person of tawheed, is always upon goodness.
ومهما حدث له فإنه يعود بإذن الله.
No matter what takes place to him or during his lifetime, he will return with the permission of Allah.
وأما إذا كان القلب خاليا من التوحيد فإن هذا هو الضياع بعينه ولو كان من المصلين معه في المسجد.
He said, and if this individual's heart is void of tawheed, then this is true loss, even if he was from those that used to pray with you in the masjid.
ينبغي أن نحرص على تربية الشباب على هذا.
So he says, it's befitting or obligatory upon us that we strive in raising and nurturing the youth upon this.
ولا بأس لا بأس أن نذهب إلى عندهم إلى أماكنهم إلى بيوتهم وندعوهم، ولكن هذا الأمر تعظيم الله عز وجل هذا أول الأمور التي ينبغي أن نبدأ معهم، لأن الذي لا يعظمه سبحانه لا يلتفت إلى الصلاة ولا يعني ولا يسأل عن غيرها من العبادات.
So he said, there's no harm in going to visit them in their places.
والإحسان إليهم.
Being good to them or going to the marketplace and like these things to visit them. However, you must begin with this tawheed. It's the greatest of all affairs. That if one does not know tawheed, then he does not know. He will not know or give importance to the rest of the worships, like salah and zinna. So you must begin with them when you see them with tawheed. Is it allowed to pray behind those who are not on tawheed?
إذا كانوا من أهل الشرك هذا لا يجوز. صلاة باطلة وراءهم.
So he said, if they're from the people of shirk, then it's not permissible. The salah is incorrect.
يعني يدعون غير الله.
If they call upon other than Allah.
يجوزون الذبح لغير الله.
They make permissible the slaughter for other than Allah.
يعلمون الناس يقولون أن هناك من يعلم الغيب غير الله.
They teach the people that there is people that know the unseen besides Allah.
هذا كفر بالله عز وجل.
This is disbelief in Allah.
هذه بدعة مكفرة.
This is the innovation of disbelief.
الصلاة خلفهم باطلة.
And to pray behind them is false.
أما إنسان عنده بدع ليست مكفرة فنصلي خلفه.
As for a person who has an innovation which hasn't reached the level of disbelief, then we can pray salah behind him.
ترك الصلاة خلف أهل البدع الغير مكفرة من البدع.
Abandoning or leaving the salah behind the people of innovation whose innovation has not reached the level of kufr, it in itself is innovation.
ولذلك من عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة أن نصلي خلف كل بر وفاجر.
And that is why from the aqeedah of Ahl al-Sunnah, the people of Sunnah, is that they pray behind every imam, whether he's righteous or wicked.
وَإِذَا وُجِدَ صَاحِبَ السُنَّةِ فَالصَّلَاةَ خَلْفَهُ أَفْضَلْ لَا شَكْ وَالذَّهَابِ إِلَيْهِ أَفْضَلْ.
And if a person of Sunnah is found, then without doubt this is better.
لكن أنه إما يصلي هنا وإما لا يصلي في مسجد فلا يجوز هذا.
As for the statement or what is that, either you pray here or you pray at the house, then this is not permissible. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is there any Halloween in Islam?
لا شك أن هذه الأعياد أعياد محرمة.
The Sheikh said there is no doubt that these celebrations, Halloween, are forbidden.
والله عز وجل قد أبدلنا عن هذه الأعياد بعيدين عظيمين بعد عبادتين عظيمتين.
So Allah has replaced these celebrations with two great celebrations after two enormous acts of worship.
بعد ركنين من أركان الإسلام.
After two pillars from the pillars of Islam.
الصيام والحج.
Fasting and Hajj.
قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا.
Say by the virtue of Allah and His mercy, with that be pleased.
وخيرا مما يجمعون.
And it is better than that which they gather.
لا يجوز ترويع المسلم.
It is not permissible to scare a Muslim.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يحل لمسلم أن يروع أخاه.
The Prophet ﷺ said, "It is not permissible for a Muslim to scare his brother."
ولو كان مازحا.
Even if he was joking.
نعم. وهذا لا يجوز. هذا محرم. فكيف إذا اقترنت بذلك عقيدة باطلة؟
He said, "This is not permissible." Then what do you think about if the fact that it scares a Muslim is coupled alongside with a false عقيدة؟
كذلك كذبة إبريل هذه محرمة.
Likewise.
الكذب كله محرم.
Likewise, April Fools, haram. All forms of lying is haram.
نعم. أي نعم. صحيح. وين ال نعم. صحيح الذي.
ثاني
نعم. ثامن.
So next question.
كركب.
Can we sit in the gathering of those whose aqidah is not correct?
نعم. إيش السؤال؟
Can we sit in the gathering of those whose aqidah is not correct?
لا تجلس معهم إلا لتناصحهم.
Do not sit with them except to advise them.
لأنك ستكون مثلهم بعد ذلك.
So because you will be like them after that, you will become like them after that.
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا سمعتم بالدجال فانأوا عنه اهربوا منه.
The Prophet ﷺ, he said that if you hear about the Dajjal, then flee from him.
ما قال صاحب العقيدة الصحيحة يذهب إليه ويتكلم معه.
He didn't say the person who holds the correct عقيدة go to him and speak to him.
لا يجوز الاستماع لأهل البدع.
It is not permissible to listen to the people of innovation.
الشافعي رحمه الله يقول الشبهة خطافة والقلب ضعيف.
Imam al-Shafi'i used to say that the doubts is snatching, meaning snatches away, and the hearts are weak.
أهل البدع أشد إحراقا من النار.
The people of innovation, they burn is more severe than fire.
لأن النار تحرق الجسد.
Because fire burns the bodies.
هؤلاء يحرقون دينك.
As for these, meaning the people of innovation, they burn your religion.
فلا يكون لك دينا.
Then you will have no religion.
نعم نسأل الله السلامة العافية. لذلك أجمع السلف على بغض أهل البدع وعدم الجلوس معهم ولا الاستماع إليهم.
And that's why the salaf.
يجمع السلف.
Unanimously agreed. That you stay away from the people of innovation and you hate them.
وهكذا تحافظ على دينك. نعم. السلف هم أهل القرون المفضلة وعلى رأسهم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم.
And when we say the salaf, we mean the three virtuous generations. At the head of them, the companions of Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام.
عثمان رضي الله عنه. انتبهوا لهذا. عثمان رضي الله عنه أحرق جميع المصاحف وجمع الناس جميعا على لغة قريش وكلها حق.
So the Shaykh said, pay attention to this point. It's an excellent point. Uthman bin Affan رضي الله تعالى عنه, he burnt all the other copies of the Quran and gathered the people upon the language of the Quraysh.
فكان هذا من عظيم حسنات عثمان رضي الله عنه, جمع القلوب.
This is
وكلها كلام الله.
This is from the great reward of Uthman bin Affan that he gathered the hearts. Though all of it was the speech of Allah.
لماذا فعل ذلك؟ خشي أن يختلف الناس.
So why did Uthman do this? He feared that the people would differ.
يقول ابن القيم في الطرق الحكمية: فكيف لو رأى عثمان كتب أهل البدع التي ألفت لتفريق الناس؟
So Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, then what do you think if Uthman was to see the people of innovation, their books which were authored to split the people?
يعني الحق إذا سيفرق الناس فإنك تراعي كما راعي عثمان رضي عنه، كما قال ابن مسعود رضي عنه لما صلى خلف عثمان قال: الخلاف شر، وصلى أربعا في منى، الخلاف شر، وهذا حق. فكيف بالباطل الذي يأتي ليفرق الناس؟
He said, and if the truth is going to split the people, then you must be aware and pay attention and give importance to this. Like for example, the companion who prayed behind Ibn Mas'ud, who prayed behind Uthman four rak'ah.
لأنه في اجتهاد، عثمان اجتهد ورأى أنه مقيم وظن أو رأى بأن أن الصلاة تقصر للمسافر، لأن عثمان هو الوالي، والوالي أينما كان فالبلد بلاده، فقيل هذا. وقيل أنه لأنه كان متزوجا عنده زوجة في مكة، مع أن الراجح أن القصر للنسك وليس للسفر. يعني أهل مكة إذا كانوا في منى فإنهم يقصرون لأن النسك وليس للسفر.
So he completed the
ولكن هذا اجتهاد.
He completed the salah four rakats. This was his ijtihad, his scholarly ruling and verdict, striving hard. And he saw himself as a scholar. They mentioned that either he was a resident because he was the ruler at that time. So the ruler is, the land is his. Or it is mentioned that he had a wife there. So he completed his salah, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Ibn Mas'ud, the companion, radiallahu anhu, prayed behind him four. Even though that which was correct is that you shortened for the people who are doing Hajj. So Ibn Mas'ud, even though the truth was with him, he said, the khilaf is shar, that differing is evil. That differing is evil.
نعم. لأننا نختم بهذه. شوف واحد من هذه. أقول نختم بسؤال واحد إن شاء الله. هذا يقول: هل يجوز الصلاة خلف يعني الشيعة أو الرافضة؟ لا يجوز الصلاة خلفهم.
So the question is it permissible to pray behind the Shia, the Rafida? The Sheikh he mentioned is not permissible to pray behind
ومن صلى خلفهم يعيد صلاته.
And whoever prays behind them must repeat his salah.
هؤلاء ما يتوضون وإنما يمسحون على 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 أقدامهم، لا يغسلون، فلذلك وضوءهم باطل.
He said they don't make wudu. I mean correctly. They don't wash. They wipe. They wipe. They don't wash over their feet. They wash it. They wipe. They wipe over their feet. So this their wudu is false.
Last question.
If we know that a person is a Hun Salafiya, then do we have to ask them for proof for when they tell us something?
السؤال عن الدليل لا شك أنه من سنن أهل السنة، من سنة أهل السنة أنهم يسألون عن الدليل ومعرفة الدليل، فلا بأس بذلك.
He said to ask for proofs and evidence is from the ways of أهل السنة. To ask for evidence and proofs is from the ways of أهل السنة and there's no problem in this.
وكان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم إذا ذكروا المسألة ذكروا دليلها. هكذا سمعنا رسول الله، رأيت رسول الله. نعم.
He said the Sahaba when they would speak about an affair, they would mention the evidence. They would say this is how we heard the Messenger of Allah say this, or we've seen the Messenger of Allah do this.
لكنك لو علمت بأن هذا الشخص صاحب سنة وصاحب دليل، ولو قلت له ما هو الدليل وأخبرك ما فهمت، فإنك يجوز لك أن تتبعه، لأن فرق بين الاتباع والتقليد. الاتباع أن تتبع شخصا تعلم أنه يأخذ بالدليل، هذا اتباع وليس تقليد. التقليد أنك تقلد بدون دليل وتعلم أنه لو لم يكن له دليل لاتبعته أيضا. ففرق بين الاتباع ونحن نتبع ولا نقلد. وما جاء من نهي السلف عن التقليد إنما أرادوا التقليد الأعمى وليس الاتباع.
So the Sheikh, he mentioned that if you ask an individual who's known to take by the evidences, and you ask him, and you, he answers you, you know that if you were to ask him for the evidence, he'll give it to you, then this is no harm in this. And there's a difference between following and blind following. Blind following is that when you ask an individual and he's known to take from evidences, and he gives you an affair and you take it, but he's known to take from the evidences, it's permissible. As for the blind following, is that you take from an individual blindly, knowing that he doesn't take from the evidences of.
أو أن نفتح لو خالف الحق ستتبع.
And if he was to oppose the truth, you likewise would follow him. And this is blind following.
جزاك الله خير. نكتفي هنا والله تعالى أعلم، وأعتذر من الإخوة الذين ما استطعنا أن نجيب عن أسئلتهم.
Just tell them, excuse us, there's a lot of questions.
There was a lot of questions, so we got through as many as we could. Due to time constraints, we're not able to get through any more. A couple announcements. First of all, we want to thank the Sheikh for coming, and hopefully, inshallah, we benefited.
And
Brother Nasser, of course, did a good job translating. May Allah reward them both greatly. We want to do this again, inshallah, sometime. So we need the support from the brothers and the sisters. Continue going forward. The other thing I want to announce is we're going to pray Salat al-Asr first. If anybody needs to make wudu, go do it now. We're going to pray shortly here, inshallah. And then we're going to eat. And then I've been informed there's some pizza that's been brought. And if people could leave the pizza only for the kids, because there's not that much, so if the adults
could eat the meat.
Eat the other non-pizza items and so on.